good to be here this evening with y'all and opportunity to see you again face to face. And we're thankful for how God has worked in our lives and in our behalf over the last 6 months. And it's also good to be here as well. This was a little bit of a surprise for my nephew for his graduation, but also had to get my driver's license renewed. And we have some things that we need to go through that I think will be a little more clear now, what things we need and what things we there's some things that we can look and say, definitely don't need that. And there's some other things saying, I wanted that just about every day for the last 5 months. So we're going to do that, and we'll, Lord willing, be returning home on Friday. We're thankful for your prayers and for your support on our behalf in many ways, but we're thankful for all those things. And we're, you know, it's just all sorts of different things that you could say, well, what have you done the past several months? And that's a pretty big long list. I tried to make a little bit of a list of what we've done since I was here last, or since about the last 5 months. In December, we sold our house. Praise the Lord for that. We sold our car. That was a blessing. We arrived in Santiago with 8 suitcases in December. In January, we traveled to Paysandú, Uruguay for a week of missionary conference. After that, we returned to Santiago. I went to the National Chilean Pastors Conference in the south of Chile. We learned to travel around Santiago. We visited several different people in different parts of the city. We attended a family camp at a camp in Santiago because, of course, that was summertime. February, we submitted our first application for temporary residency. We flew to Antofagasta for 7 days and looked at apartments. We returned to Santiago, continued to look at apartments online and via video chat with the Flinks. We rented an apartment that we hadn't seen, though the Flinks, they showed it to us via video chat. We began to order appliances and furniture. I had the opportunity to preach in Spanish in a church in Santiago. In March, we flew to Antofagasta for 6 days and then back again, and then we gathered the last of our things and we flew one way to Antofagasta and moved into our apartment. I went to a district pastor's meeting in Coquimbo, which was an hour and 15-minute flight south of Antofagasta. We ordered most of our furniture online, and I assembled it as it was delivered from a store that was very similar to IKEA, but everything comes in boxes. I think I counted there were 34 different boxes that were delivered to our thing. Some of the things had many pieces, but I got pretty good at those little the little things where you put the thing in, and then there's a little post, and then you turn it, all those, did those. We began to invite people to our home as soon as we moved in and to visit in their homes as well. Many people invite us over. At this point, we have had about 2/3 of our church family into our home for a meal. So we're doing okay on that. We keep pretty busy. So that of 70 people, that's probably, we've had about 2/3 of them at least one time into our home for a meal. In April, we traveled to Tacna, Peru for a day, basically for an afternoon. Just so we could leave the country and re-enter in order to renew our tourist visa. I had my first chance to give the Wednesday prayer meeting devotional. I had a great idea of maybe we should have a pastoral prayer on Sunday morning, so I got tasked with that. So I've been leading in a pastoral prayer to lead the church in prayer and to try to encourage, teach them how to pray, and that's been been well appreciated. We traveled to Iquique, which is the next big city north, about 5 hours, 6 hours, to visit a fellow GMSA missionary for a day. In May, Becca had the opportunity to fly to Santiago for a weekend to participate in a missionary ladies' weekend. We received notification that our application that we put in the 1st of February for temporary residency was finally received. That was the middle of May. So it's been received, and it says there's nothing that is lacking as far as documentation. We're just waiting for them to approve it. And then this week we had the opportunity to travel to the States. So we've been pretty busy. We've gotten to do a lot of things. We're very thankful. The Lord has smoothed the way ahead of us. We're thankful for good teammates, good partners, people who have helped us and encouraged us. And we're thankful for our church. They have been very good to us. They welcomed us into their homes and into their hearts. They're very patient with us and very gracious as well. And so we're very thankful for them. I'll try to say some more things. But I am very thankful and have been many times for you all. I have had multiple conversations in which I thought, I've had this conversation before with one of you, and where we talked about something about the Christian life or something about the Bible or some application of doctrine to life. And I was thankful for you and for how you sharpened me and how you strengthened my understanding of Scripture and how you encouraged me and had the opportunity in that way to be a blessing to other people as well. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 6, and we'll look at this passage and just talk about a few things, and I will try not to tax my voice too much. I woke up Wednesday morning. Wednesday was the day we left. We left Wednesday morning about 9:30 from our apartment, and we got to Columbus about Thursday about 10:45 or something like that. But Wednesday morning I woke up and my throat was sore, and I thought, oh, no, this can't be happening. So I held out for several days, but eventually succumbed. And so I'm looking forward to Jesus coming quickly so that he can get rid of all sickness. That will be a blessing. Isaiah chapter 6. In Isaiah chapter 6, this really is recording the beginning of Isaiah's ministry, his commissioning, and his commissioning by God. And it begins with a vision that he has of the Lord. And I'm sure that you know that. I'm sure you've read this. I'm sure that you have probably studied it, heard many a message. But I want to point out one thing that is, in my mind, rather significant about Isaiah's vision. He sees the Lord sitting on a throne, verse 1, high and lifted up. The train of his robe filled the temple. This is an awesome, awe-inspiring sort of a scene that he sees. And he has the opportunity to see the Lord. And he notes that above him, above the Lord, stood the seraphim. These seraphim are some sort of angelic beings, and they seem to have the responsibility of guarding, of protecting, of proclaiming the very presence of God. And he describes them a little bit. They have six wings. Two of the wings are for covering their faces. So they actually shield their faces from the glory of God because they work in direct contact with the glory of the Lord. They have two wings that they cover their feet and two wings with which they fly. And they fly around, and they basically have one job. And their job is this, in verse 3. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." This is what they do. This is what they were doing when Isaiah saw them. And he says this is a pretty amazing sort of thing because, verse 4, the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called. So in these majestic, booming, thundering voices, they're calling one to another back and forth, and they're saying over and over, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And this to me is just fascinating that this is what they do. They just simply call out the greatness of God's holiness. Now, God's attributes are multifaceted. His perfections extend in many ways, in many directions. But his holiness seems to be his underlying, his governing attribute, if you might call it that. And here he says, these are constantly saying over and over, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts." Now, when we think of holiness, normally first we tend to think of sinlessness, right? And of course, God is sinless. He does not sin. He's separate from any sort of sinfulness or any sort of wickedness of any kind. But holiness really is much broader than that. It simply means separate. It means distinct. It means unique. It means one of a kind. It means the only one in its class. And I can tell you that it means more than just sinlessness because the angels here who are sinless are calling out that God is holy. He is separate from them. They have to cover their faces from him. They have to cover their feet in his presence. And they're calling out over and over and highlighting the holiness of God, saying he is the only God. He is the only one. There is no one like him. No one matches up to his greatness. His glory fills the entire earth. No one else can say that. He is holy. He is holy. He is holy. And so they are calling out and praising and rehearsing the holiness or the uniqueness of God. He's separate not just from sin, because the angels themselves are sinless, but he's separate from all of creation. He is the creator, and everything else that is not God is the creation. That is really the best definition of the universe. The universe is everything that is not God. It's everything created. And God is in a class all by himself. He's not the best of all of the things in the universe. He is the only thing that created the universe. He is holy. He is separate. He is unique. He is the one. There is no one who shares or rivals or comes close to being like him. And it's interesting that they don't simply just say, the Lord of hosts is holy, which is a true statement. But they repeat this. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the repetition of this is kind of interesting because I think that there are many good things that we could say about one another. We could call someone out and we could say, what are some good things that we have to say about this person? Please stand and let's all say something good. But at a certain point, we would run out of good things to say and we'd have to start getting a little bit creative, if you will, and trying to say nice things about someone because we're finite people and our goodness is finite. But God's holiness is not limited. There's no point at which that runs out. There's no point at which that stops being awe-inspiring. There's no point at which that is no longer praiseworthy. If you were to invite me to your house and make a good meal, and I ever say, boy, that was a great meal. That was really good. That was fantastic food. I think that might have been the best thing I've eaten in my life. Boy, that the way you prepared that was tremendous. That just was so tasty. It was delicious. I was finger-licking good. And at some point you'd say, all right, okay, it was just a meal, all right? It doesn't deserve that. Okay, now it's too much. It doesn't deserve that. It's not worthy of that kind of praise. But God's greatness and God's holiness is so that he has these incredible angelic beings whose job it is to simply call out and rehearse the holiness of God. So this praise is extravagant praise. This isn't simply just, you know what? Let me tell you something. God is holy. Ah, that's right. Oh, very good. Thank you. No, God is holy. He is holy. He is in a class all by himself, such that he has these angelic beings that are doing this constantly, calling out one to another. Now, with that in mind, let's flip over to Revelation. Let's fast forward at least 2,700 years to the present day, and even into the future, as I believe Revelation chapters 4 and 5 is dealing with future events, future to now. So here we are at the very least, 2,700 some years ahead. And look at Revelation chapter 4. And we'll just jump in the middle of verse 6 there at the paragraph break. And around the throne, on each side of the throne, are four living creatures, full of eyes in front and behind. The first living creature like a lion, the second living creature like an ox, the third living creature with the face of a man, the fourth living creature like an eagle in flight. Four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within. And at this point, I think with the six wings, that probably tipped you off. We're talking about the same thing. When you start to read, you're like, no, these things that Isaiah described were angels. But it didn't say they were angels, did it? It said they were seraphim. But he says, here he describes them now. He actually gets a look at their faces, John does. And he describes them. And I think when we get down to the point where he says, each of them with six wings, we're like, wait a second, six wings? I have heard of creatures with six wings. And look at what they're doing. Full of eyes all around and within. Day and night, they never cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. So here, fast forward 2,700 years, at least, more, John has a vision of the throne room of God, and here these seraphim are still rehearsing the praise of God's holiness. They haven't run out of his holiness and say, well, there's just nothing left to say. I think we've covered it. I think we can take a break now. No, God's holiness is still so incredible. He is so far above all of his creation. He is absolutely in a class all by himself. No one compares to him. No one shares his glory. No one rivals his greatness. He alone is holy. He's the only one. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. So here we are, thousands of years later, same song, same refrain, same job. continuous praise, never ceasing, never getting old, never saying, all right, well, I think we've got that. God is still in a class all by himself. Now, when you take this, we look at verse 9, whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who is seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, worthy are you, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. And John gives the picture that this is something that doesn't just happen once. This happens over and over. It's like they repeat this holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. Worthy are you, O Lord. Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts. Worthy are you, O Lord. And in the midst of this endless praise, this cycle of praise that's been taking place for centuries, for millennia, I'm assuming since the beginning of creation, praising God for his holiness and his separateness, something is introduced. And we read that tonight. Pastor Smith read that about the scroll and no one having the authority to come and take the scroll. And then the Lamb came and took the scroll out of the hand because he was worthy to open the scroll and to read what it was in it. And literally to begin the judgment that is going to be poured out and brought against the earth. And then, verse 8 of chapter 5, or verse 9, they sang a new song. So in the midst of this cycle of endless praise of God's holiness by the seraphim in heaven, that I'm assuming has been going on since God created them to do this very specific job, they've been continually praising God as the only one, the unique one. And then the Lamb comes and takes the book, and they sing a new song. Now, tell me if this doesn't sound a little interesting based on what we've already heard about the song of the seraphim. They sang a new song saying, worthy are you, talking to the Lamb, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You've made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. After thousands of years of saying, God, you alone are worthy of praise, that same praise is directed to Jesus Christ, the Lamb. If there was any doubt that Jesus Christ is God, here's the proof. God says, I alone am God. And these angels say, we have been worshiping God alone. And they say, we can direct our praise to the Lamb just as we would direct it to God the Father, because you are God. Jesus Christ, the Lamb, you are God. And why is the Lamb worthy of the praise? What has he done to set himself apart? He says, you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God. The New Testament is filled with many songs, and you have a bunch of them here. You can sometimes see them in the way they're formatted even. New Testament songs always talk about Jesus, because this is what Jesus has done. This is what we celebrate by meeting on the Lord's Day instead of the seventh day of the week. This is why we are the church of God and not a synagogue, because Jesus was slain, and by his blood he ransomed a people for God. And these people came from every tribe and language and people and nation. These aren't just God's chosen people, the Jews. This is God's grace poured out to the Gentiles as well, in which Jesus breaks down the partitions between them, and he breaks down the barriers between God and us because of our sin, and he reconciles us to God, and he reconciles us to one another. And this is the song that we will have the privilege of singing as well, this new song of praising the Lamb. And I don't think it will be one song and then we'll be done. I think it will be an ongoing chorus of praise to Jesus Christ, the Lamb who was slain, the one who ransomed people for God from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. And at that moment, my language struggles will be over, because we will all be singing the same tune, if you will. And those of you who say, I'm not great at singing, this will be a moment you can look forward to. Come quickly, Lord, and you can sing, and we will join together. And I have to say that singing in church has been one of the biggest struggles, because I went from knowing all the songs to knowing none of the songs. And that's been very frustrating. not knowing the words or the music, and it's been frustrating. But it is a joy to sing praise to God with believers. And little by little, as we learn some of the songs and we can join in, if you want a song to sound, a congregational singing to sound really good, you take about as many people as we have here and you put them in a living room with tile floor, it sounds great. And everyone sings their lungs out, and it's great. But it's a great opportunity. It's wonderful to hear other tongues, other languages singing praise to God. And that's our goal. We don't want to just say, well, we alone are the ones who will be singing praise. No, because the Lamb is worthy of not just our praise, but the praise of every tribe and every people and every tongue and every ethnicity. And so our goal is that all of them will be directing their praise. He says, you've made them a kingdom and priests to our God. They reign on the earth. And then look at how this continues. Then I looked and heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders and the voice of many angels, numbering myriads and myriads, there's your angels, and thousands of thousands. So we have these four living creatures who've been doing this, praising God's holiness for thousands of years. We have the 24 elders. They are also singing their song of God's worthiness. And then all of them are singing the praises and the worth of Jesus Christ, the Lamb. And then thousands and thousands of angels saying, verse 12, with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. This is creation restored. God created all things so that he would be glorified. And his goal was that all of creation would worship him. Sin has broken that. And our world does not worship God. We don't even worship God the way we ought. And here that will be restored. And every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them will be singing praise to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. Just as Paul said, that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And the four living creatures said, amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped. And then I would assume that that cycle started right over because we have not exhausted the worth of our glorious God, our glorious Lamb. Jesus Christ is worthy of our everlasting praise and worship because he was slain. And by his blood, he ransomed a people for God. That's the good news that goes out to every person in every place at every time, is that God has made a way for you to be right with him, and it's by the death of his son, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, and it's by his perfect life that made the righteousness that we can stand before God. And for those who turn from their sins in faith to Jesus Christ, that's the good news, that you can join in this choir singing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. And by his blood, he ransomed people for God. So I hope as you read that, you think, wow, God's holiness is something amazing. It is something to stand in awe. But I hope you also think, I would like to get in on that chorus. I would like to be a part of that. I can't wait. I can't wait to sing the praises of God for thousands and thousands of years and to sing in that way. Because Jesus Christ is worthy of that kind of praise. He's worthy to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And we're thankful for the privilege of being able to be his children and be part of his body, his bride, the church. Let's close in a word of prayer. Dear God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for how it speaks to our hearts and our lives. Thank you for the reminders that it gives us of even the future that we look forward to, of the things that you are doing in the world, that we are not afraid that you will lose the battle, but ultimately we know that you will win and that all of creation will honor and glorify you. Thank you for the privilege we have to begin that now. We look forward to the time when we might be able to do it without the presence of sin, but also in an unending way to continually praise you for who you are and for what you have done, that you have ransomed a people for yourself by the blood of the Lamb from every tribe and tongue and kindred and language. And I thank you for that, and I thank you for who you are and for your holiness. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.